Conference Committee on House File 2996 will come to order. Here we are in room 318, the weirdest room in the Capitol. And I think we have a product for the conferees to consider as our work product for the public safety policy bill. And I think what we'll do, we all have copies, I believe, and for, if there's anybody in the audience who doesn't have them, they're over there somewhere. I think what we'll do is we'll have Mr. Diebel and Mr. Backus go through. Since the two sides were so different in what we brought into this conference, I think what we'll do is say what's not in the bill and see if that will go quicker than the flip side. So I think I will turn it over to Mr. Backus.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. Yeah, Senator Higgins mentioned, you know, if you still have the side-by-side, it might be helpful. But the document that we're working off of is the AM-PUB-SCCR document dated May 5th. And that's basically a proposed, that'll be converted to a conference committee report, but that has all the language. So again, working off of basically the provisions that were in the side-by-side, but we're just going to mention again the provisions that aren't in the new document. First off, the Senate had a provision that would lift tort cap liability for the I-35 bridge incident. That's not in this report. That's being handled in the other conference committee. The House had a provision on social networking prohibiting predatory offenders from accessing those sites. Those provisions are not in the conference committee report. The Senate had a number of provisions on certificates of good conduct, including an appropriation, that they are not in this conference committee report. The Senate had a provision on the use of non-conviction records relating to private employers. That is not in this conference committee report. The House had a provision on fireworks, which is not in this conference committee report. The Senate had two provisions on solitary confinement that Department of Corrections had in their department bill. One of which specified the period of time. It changed the language from solitary confinement to secure confinement, but also tied the cap in how long a person can be there in a jail to the jail's disciplinary policy. That provision is not in this report. The other one is. The Senate had a provision that required the next few provisions are going to be in the report, but they're going to be slightly different versions than were in the original side-by-side. The Senate had a provision requiring the Department of Corrections and the Commissioner of Deed to do a report, annual plan on MNCOR. The provision is in there. There's also some new language regarding implementation of the plan, and there's a technical language change as well suggested by the Revisor's Office. The House had language on predatory offender registration. And maybe it might be a little bit easier if I try to give you page and lines for these differences at least. The page 2, section 3, if you see the marketing plan, that's the first thing I mentioned in terms of differences. You can see the implement is being added on line 2.10. And then the technical change was changing conjunction with to consultation with on line 2.9. Then the predatory offender registration change was on page 3, lines 5 to 9. This required that for offenders who are being released from incarceration who didn't have a primary address, they were required to register with the law enforcement agency 5 days before release. This provides 3 days before release. Other than that, it's the same. The House had language regarding e-charging. That shows up. That shows up on page 15, I'm sorry, page 12 of the new document, section 15. This appears to be different because it's structured differently. The e-charging provision became law in the interim between the House passing it and now. So it appears differently, but the substance of it is the same. Then the Senate had language relating to, the Senate and the House had language relating to a joint physical custody presumption study group. This is on page 17 of the new document. The House and Senate was actually very similar on it. The Senate required a little additional consultation on the part of the state court administrator when appointing the group. But new language was added, two new concepts. One is there is now a DHS, Department of Human Services representative on the study group. That appears on line 17.13. And then the there was a clarification made regarding the citizen membership of the group, just to clarify how it fit in with the other membership. So that was just tweaked a little bit. You could see on line 17.11 to 17.12, the citizen members who are not associated, that's been moved down from a little bit above to make it more clear. The Senate had a repealer that would include reporting requirements for juvenile placements. All the repealers were taken except for those two repealers. Representative Pinmar did not want to take that at this point. The document adds some effective dates that weren't there, but that's not very substantive. And then finally, both the House and Senate had language on the military veterans who are convicted of crimes. This document accepts the Senate language on that. There was a slight difference. And then finally, two other things. The Senate and the House both had language requiring a comprehensive family court process study that appears on page 17. The Senate language was taken there. It was just basically a slight difference with the original House language. And then finally, on page 17, that section 27 is the Working Group on Controlled Substances. Basically, this is a combination of the House and Senate language. The most significant difference is we took the House provisions on who would appoint these memberships. It would be the Speaker and then the Subcommittee on Rules and Administration in consultation with the legislative chairs of the Policy and Finance Divisions. And then there are a couple other tweaks, but it's basically a combination of the two provisions. And, you know, Madam Chair, if you want Mr. Diebel or myself to go through it in more detail, but I think that's basically the stuff we need to know.
Thank you very much. Representative Diebel.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to clarify a couple of things. As we were going through, there were a couple of places I wasn't able to locate it as we were going through. One was the e-charging language, and one was the veterans language. I just wasn't able to locate those quickly enough as you were speaking.
The veterans language is section 18 on the bottom of page 13. The e-charging is...
Madam Chair and Senator, Representative Liebling, the e-charging language now appears in section 15 on page 12. That's the new language that the House was adding, and that hasn't been changed. And then the House had stricken a subdivision. So instead of striking it, it appears in the repealer. And that's on page 19, line 31.
Any other questions? Representative Payne.
Madam Chair, on page 3, this registration procedure when a person lacks a primary address, maybe I'm just not understanding this. Why the intent is to have fewer days before the person is released to identify and make contact with that law enforcement jurisdiction. Can someone just help me out with what we're doing?
Senator Moore, was that your vision, your suggestion to go to a shorter number of days?
Madam Chair, members, I would, I think in the context of the discussion we had in the 5 days, we were concerned about, I had heard the concerns of the department. The staff was kind of put in a tight situation where, for people who were being released, where we had to do mandatory reporting. We needed to know where they were going to, but if they didn't have a place to go to, then we needed to give them enough time to identify a place to go to. So if we required them to tell us where they were leaving too early on, too many days before they were released, they might not yet know where they're going to. Because for some people, they're going some... This is, I think, to address, and the department's here, they can address that. But my understanding was that this is to address the instance where we're releasing people who are going to be homeless, literally. And so this had to be tightly balanced between how many days do we want to require them to give us by minimizing the number of days. Maybe we're giving them the most chances to identify a place to be, but then we also need to have enough days ahead of time in order to notify local law enforcement to be in compliance with the reporting requirement. And so I didn't know how do you balance that? And originally we had 5 days. When we can go back to those 5 days, if that's the case, but I thought that in conversation, in the conference committee, I think Representative Liebling and others had raised, you know, why is it that we need the 5 days? Can we shorten that? And so I just said, pick up, you know, however many days we need to.
And thank you, Senator Mann. I think also we were trying to give them as much time as possible to actually find an address that they could call their primary address when they left without, you know, pushing it out to day one. So that's why we came up with 3.
And Madam Chair, did the department react to this at all at this
time? Someone from
I guess I want to know if this helps them to help the DOC and it also helps the offender who's being released.
Madam Chair, Representative Paymar, my name is David Crist. I'm Assistant Commissioner for the Facilities Division of the Department of Corrections. I understand what Senator Moy is saying in terms of trying to achieve that balance between giving the offender plenty of time to find a place and be able to notify us. One potential place where it really gets tight for us is if the release happens on a Monday. According to state law, we can't release people, I believe, on Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. That release date is pushed back to a Monday, so that 3-day period then really gets tight in that circumstance.
So, Madam Chair, so would you prefer, what would you prefer?
Madam Chair, Representative Paymar, I would prefer the 5-day. Ultimately, our mission is public safety in this regard. We don't want somebody going out that's supposed to be registered to a location unknown to law enforcement, and we would like to have adequate time to do that. And in the event the offender doesn't come up with a date for us, then we call local law enforcement and ask them to meet them at the front door as not being in compliance with this part of the law.
Representative Bingham. That was something that was coming up in my head as far as the 48-72-hour rule we have. Senator Moore, would you be okay if I made a motion to move it back to 5, or would you like to have a further discussion about it? Oh, I'm a non-voting member. I can't make that motion. Never mind.
Madam Chair, I...
Representative Bingham.
I'm sorry, it's causing that confusion. I just... It does say at least, so that does give you probably it works okay. So then we don't have to change the document. I just wanted to be clear about what we're doing. Thank you for your testimony.
All right. Any other questions? I know that there are several members of the public who are here who have worked really long and hard on the certificate of good conduct.
Madam Chair.
Senator Moore.
Madam Chair, I'm very disappointed that the Certificate of Good Conduct, as well as the language on the private employers, not in this bill. And I just got to say, I think that when we had our conversations the other day in conference committee, you know, I was really trying to make the case that what the Senate brought to the conference committee wasn't something that we just grabbed out of thin air, but it was the result of a lot of really hard work over the interim. And we didn't just have one, you know, group working on it, but we had 2 working groups working on reentry and collateral sanctions issues. And for one of those groups, we actually paid, we appropriated money for them to pull experts in the area together and come back with recommendations. And I just have to say that I am very, very disappointed that we couldn't find a way to accommodate the work that the bulk of the work that has gone into this area. And I have to say, I am very disappointed about the Certificate of Good Conduct to the extent that I know, Madam Chair, that there's been countless hours put into trying to identify some compromise language that would work, and I'm just very disappointed that there wasn't a way to do that. And then on the private employer piece, Madam Chair and members, I just have to say that I feel like I've bent over backwards to try to hear and accommodate the concerns of the business community. And the language that was ultimately proposed to the business community to consider did not at all. I mean, it went very far away from my initial intent. Still it was not good enough. And I think that there will be another day, another opportunity where we'll have to find a way to bring it back and do some work on that. But I feel like in those two areas, Senator Higgins and I spent a lot of time over the weekend trying to make something work, and I'm very disappointed that we couldn't do something about that.
Senator Mohn, I appreciate all the work that you tried to do to get the governor's office to come around over the weekend, and you hate to say that a whole summer's worth of meetings and input from people was wasted, but it sort of feels that way now. However, I know that what we're trying to do now is to get a letter from the governor's office that states clearly and unequivocally that they support the intent of what we're trying to do, and that I guess we start over in the interim and try to make something that will accommodate whatever concerns that they have, but not weaken the bill to such a point that it's meaningless, which I think it was when we saw their initial offer. And at this late hour, obviously, there's not much we can do about it. Thank you, Senator Higgins, Senator Moa, for Eastland, for all the work that you did on this, and others in the audience who also worked on this bill, both bills that are now out of the conference committee reports.
And I'll thank everybody as well. We're not done with this.
Okay, so where are we now? I think we have a couple of amendments. Now, I might say that in talking to Senator Higgins, if these amendments do go on, I'm not saying we should not offer them. It sounds like it's going to be several hours to.
Yeah.
And I don't know. There's two amendments. One came out, and this is a Bukovina amendment that.
Why does everybody laugh when we say that?
Madam Chair, was it because we needed some levity?
Does everybody have the amendment? I think they were passed out. Representative Paymar, can you explain what this amendment does? I've heard it explained a couple of times now, and I'm not sure I still can explain it.
There should be, you should have a, because the poem's going to pass out a memo from DPS, and the language is acceptable to the State Fire Marshal Division. It just says that it serves to further clarify that persons maintaining or repairing fire protection systems in mines are not required to be certified by the State Fire Marshal Division. So it's a clarification of statute. I did tell Representative Rubina that I'd offer it, but if it's gonna delay the bill several hours, I think he's probably putting it in another bill. So
he's trying to put it in several bills, actually. It's sort of the Ranger way. do you want to actually take a vote on, or do you want to just introduce it and lay it aside?
Maybe we just temporarily lay this over,
okay.
Madam Chair, and then take there. But then, Liebling, I think we have an amendment if you want to offer it.
Representative Liebling?
Which amendment are we talking about here? I'm sorry. I'm a little distracted by what's going on the floor.
Okay, is there anybody else who wants to discuss any other piece of this bill while we're waiting for some copies to get here?
Let me, Madam Chair.
Representative Paymar.
I would like to discuss the joint physical custody study group.
I think that's toward the end of the document. Page 17.
I did have some conversations with you, Senator Higgins. I just wanted for the record that I had promised basically to Representative Mahoney, who has been working on this issue for a long time, that I would not I would work to keep his language as he proposed it and as it passed the House. But I also understand that you had concerns about the start date or when the court would actually begin working on the issue of joint physical custody, and you would prefer to have delayed it a year. So I am not going to object to this language, because I think it's somewhat of a compromise, considering that your feelings on it. I don't see a problem with having personally the Department of Human Services represented on the study group, even though that was not the wish of Representative Mahoney. But I feel like sometimes there's some give and take, and that's a good compromise. So I just wanted to get that on the record.
And thank you. And I felt kind of strongly that there needed to be somebody there who talked about the financial aspect to the state of the presumption of joint physical custody, and so adding that voice to the study group is, I think, a way to give it some balance.
I don't know if we actually have an amendment as Chair of the Resident Liebling, if she wants to offer it. We can refer to our side-by-side copy and have a language.
Okay. Representative Liebling.
Okay. Well, thank you, Madam Chair. Okay. Well, I'm going to offer as an amendment the language that's in Section 14, that's on R27 of the side-by-side, and that is the language that was taken out of the bill concerning fireworks. And it, really the change there is just to change from on line 15.32, where we had in the side-by-side changing the 200 grams to 500 grams or less for multiple tubes, snakes, and glowworms. And if I could, Madam Chair, it's been explained to me in the interim between our last meeting and today that there's been a change in federal regulations concerning the amount of this substance that's allowed to be in these devices, and that this essentially would conform Minnesota to that. So that's my amendment.
Okay, is there a discussion on the amendment to add the fireworks piece back in? And just so you remember, this is a piece that did not have a hearing in the House or the Senate. It was added as a floor amendment on the House. And I know that that happens, but it's not something I think that the majority of the senators feel comfortable with, because we have not had a chance to vet the whole issue. Is there any further discussion on Senator Liebling's motion. Senator Ingraham.
Yeah, if I could just, and I understand that there's a, thank you, Madam Chair, I understand that there's a, through the amendment, that there is a issue that, you know, you allow this, you're going to allow a lot more in the near future. It's just a kind of a ball rolling down the hill, and pretty soon we're going to be legalizing fireworks in the state of Minnesota. I don't think that's it at all. I think it was pretty well described to us the other day that this was probably going to be even actually more safe than what was legal to purchase now. So I guess I certainly would vote in favor of it.
Representative Pamela.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't know. I don't have. I don't really know if it's safer or not. That's why it would have been nice to have had a committee hearing on it, to have professionals know about fireworks and these issues, to actually testify whether this would make it safer or not. I do know that my city and the city of Minneapolis, both legal cities, did testify against, legal cities testified against the bill, and I have information from my city, and I believe the city of Minneapolis, that they're opposed to the measure. So I guess I will be opposed to the measure.
Okay. Any further discussion on the Liebling amendment to insert the fireworks amendment? The fireworks language. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say no.
Aye.
No. The amendment is not adopted. Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Paymar, what is the motion? We accept. Help. What's the actual motion that we're supposed to make to accept this thing? Anybody know?
I just said that this is going to reflect.
Okay. Representative Paymar moves that the document before us, the AM-PUB-SCCR, be used as the conference committee report. Any discussion on Representative Paymar's motion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Adopted. Thank you all very much. Thank you to the members of the public and everyone who helped put this document together. And members of the conference committee, let me do this. Let me introduce our new reviser, who's in charge of the public safety and judiciary. Karen Leonard is here, and she has the forms for us to sign. So we are officially adjourned, but please stick around and sign the documents.